For this and all Clinical Updates podcasts, a 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit will be available for a limited time. To claim credit, view the slide deck associated with this podcast and complete the evaluation found in the slides. Speakers, planners, and CME staff do not have any relevant financial relationships with ineligible companies to disclose.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me for another podcast recording. Today, I have Dr. Jessica Naharian Bell. I hope I said that right, the first part. Did I?
Yes.
Great. Yeah. All right, super. Who's a pediatrician in Centra Care. We are going to talk about, the formal Greek name, not because I know it, but I look it up, is ankyloglossia, or lip tie and tongue tie, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Super. And for those who are not well-versed in Greek, which I guess is everybody listening to this, ankyloglossia means curved tongue. So let's get right into it, Jessica. So what is tongue tie and lip tie?
So just as kind of a definition, we all have frenulums. We have about 8 frenula in our mouth, mm-hmm. our oral cavity. And so it's an attachment that has muscle and connective tissue in it. Mm-hmm. And so it connects structures like your lip or your cheek to the alveolar or your gum, that mucosa on your gum. And so a tongue tie or ankyloglossia is an anomaly of the tongue that is a short or a thick frenulum. Mm-hmm. And that then can result in restriction of the tongue movement. So we also call it just easily tongue tie.
Okay. And the lip is the upper lip into the gums?
Exactly. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So there is the lip tie. So that is kind of that maxillary labial frenulum. And so that that's what we call then the lip tie.
Okay. So quick question and a disclosure. You kind of asked me about doing this topic. Is this something that is, hey, we need to talk about this, is a big issue in pediatrics, or is a particular interest of yours?
I would say a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. So I'm a pediatrician. I see newborns and babies and, you know, see breastfeeding mothers all the time. I'm also certified as a lactation consultant and so have done quite a bit of work kind of in breastfeeding and working with moms in that. And so always mm-hmm. a passion of mine to talk about breastfeeding. However, tongue and lip ties have become we've seen it becoming more commonly talked about. It's been present for a long time, or the discussion about it has been present for a long time, but we are seeing it being diagnosed more, and whether that is, what is that because they're happening more often, or is that because we're diagnosing it more often, or is it being overdiagnosed? And so the discussion of, really, is this ankyloglossia, is this tongue tie impacting mm-hmm. breastfeeding, or is it impacting the child in a way that something needs to be done? And so people are seeing in the media and seeing on the news just perhaps more and more interventions being done. And I think just having the knowledge of what is a tongue tie and when does there need to be something done about it and how does it impact things. And so, yeah, I would say twofold is that it is a hot topic in the media, and then something that I talk about every day.
Okay. So, I mean, I think we would all agree that within a couple of generations, it's impossible for it to be more common. So it probably has to be that we are seeing it more. The question is, my understanding is one of the earliest ways to diagnose it is when it becomes an issue for lactation, but we don't want to over-treat it if it's not affecting lactation, correct? So are we over-diagnosing and overacting upon it and putting kids at procedures that shouldn't have been done, or we act upon it only when there's a lactation issue for starters?
Yeah, exactly. So we do, in my research, because I really, mm-hmm. it's a topic that I find is very important, but I think that evidence-based information is really helpful. So who are the specialists that really have looked into this? Well, that's your ENT doctors. There's Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine. It's your mm-hmm. lactation and speech lactation consultants and speech therapists, as well as dentistry. So the Academy, American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry. And so all of them have kind of their guidelines or their consensus statements on it. And out of all of those, there's a theme that runs through it. And mm-hmm. that theme is, yes, so many, many infants can have ankyloglossia. Many infants can have a tight frenulum. They can have some restriction in the tongue. Not all infants have difficulty with breastfeeding if they have that tongue tie. So a really thorough evaluation of breastfeeding, evaluating how can we help the mom with latch position and all that, observing a breastfeeding session. And then if there is still significant pain for the mom, if there is still significant issues for the baby with latching and transferring of milk, then it is the idea that, okay, perhaps there does need to be something done for this baby. So they all, you know, agree in all of their statements that really it has to be a case-by-case basis and evaluated baby by baby. But yep, see, the majority of the issue is that lactation, as you know, latching and transferring that milk appropriately, and then as well as comfort for mother and pain.
I will mention at this point that those guidelines are in the slides that you're attaching, some of those guideline statements and lists plus other good information about this. Now, my understanding is that, okay, so you have the short frenulum and it could have immediate consequences for lactation or not, correct? Now, let's say you have a kid, no issue with lactation, and you see the short frenulum. There could be subsequent consequences as a young kid and even into the teenager years when it comes to speech therapy related problems and issues like that. So if you could talk a little bit about down the road potential complications, and based on those, even if the kid is doing great with lactation, you should refer to somebody right away to potentially address future complications.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. So definitely something to think about. In the research, the hard thing is there's not a lot of research done on children that are older with these tongue ties, mm-hmm. And their speech. So there is some postulation, there is some thought that perhaps some of those sounds are harder to make when they do have that shorter frenulum or that difficult, their tongue just doesn't have that mobility. Mm-hmm. However, it doesn't affect every child with ankyloglossia. So again, it really is a case-by-case basis. So with my patients that come in and they're breastfeeding wonderfully, but yeah, their tongue, they're not always able to lift to the roof of their mouth or not able to protrude it as much. I say, you know, we don't need to refer you at this time. Yes, down the road, if we do run into difficulties or we have questions about speech, then that is a time that we can address it. But really, not all children need to have it addressed. The other question is, too, is it from a speech standpoint and a airway standpoint? Mm-hmm. So if your tongue isn't able to reach the roof of your mouth, or if it's not able to elevate enough because of that frenulum, then that's not going to cause your palate to expand and you're not going to have adequate speech. But that just, we don't know that that's going to happen in every patient and in every person. So yeah, still going to be a case by case basis.
But okay, so if I'm understanding correctly, even if you kick it for down the road, it's not a big deal to do a frenotomy down the road if need be, which is a laceration of the frenulum, pretty much.
No, it really is not. And so it can be done. Okay. It can be done with, so it's either done with the scissors or it's done by a laser. And
it can be done when you're 10 or 15 even.
Exactly. Yep. It can be done at any age.
Okay. Now, and I apologize, I don't do pediatrics, so I mean years, yes. 10 to 15, 10 or 15
yes,
years.
Yes, 10 or 15 years. Yep.
Yes. But there's something there that makes me worry, and perhaps I'm wrong about this, because then if you start having secondary issues, especially with the hard palate and the mouth cavity, those are much more dire consequences, and maybe you missed a window to do a very simple procedure. So, or am I too worried about that part?
Right. Yeah. No, I think it's a valid question. I don't think that you'd be missing a window. I think that's why we have regular care mm-hmm. of patients, right? So they need to see their doctor regularly. We need to start seeing the dentist 6 months after they get their first tooth, if they're able to. And that's when they can start evaluating that. But really, even the orthodontic community, the pediatric dentist community, they don't push for, oh, you have a you have ankyloglossia, or you have a really tight labial frenulum, the lip tie. We need to, and that might, some people are worried that that's going to cause a diastema or a gap in the tooth. They really don't want to do any intervention until those adult teeth are in. And so having regular care is really the best approach.
You will catch it early if there's some associated deformation of any kind.
Exactly.
Okay, so it sounds like a pediatrician is unlikely to miss this. A dentist in general is probably unlikely to miss this, or orthodontics. But how about, do you see that in people who do, let's say, family medicine, right, that they deal with kids and grown-ups, etc., do you see this missed sometimes, that we should be more aware of this?
You know, I don't. I think our family medicine doctors do an awesome, wonderful job because they also see those babies and work with moms on breastfeeding, because a lot of times they are delivering those babies and then taking care of them. And we work, you know, closely with lactation as well. We have lactation in our clinic. Family medicine also refers to them. So no, I really don't. I think everyone really strives to, you know, breastfeeding is so important. And so I think that as primary care providers, we really strive to have that happen.
So you think the big emphasis on not having issues with lactation keeps the threshold pretty low for addressing this as an issue and referring accordingly. So that leads me to the question, if somebody has any concern, and I'll speak for the family medicine community in particular, because pediatricians is amongst ourselves, when and who should they refer to as a port of entry for addressing this issue?
Yep. So if you're concerned about tongue tie or having restriction, I would say, you know, ENT is a wonderful source. You know, I would first start, if there is lactation issues, I would start with your lactation consultant, because they're going to be the ones that are going to be an amazing tool with helping with latch, helping with that breastfeeding journey. And then if there are further concerns, ENT, and then sometimes pediatric dentistry. It kind of depends on the area and who does those interventions. Yeah.
Okay. And you didn't speak spontaneously much about upper lip ties. Is perhaps is a lesser big deal than the tongue ties? Would that be fair to say?
It is. It really is. There is some thought that perhaps when it is so tight that it is hard to form a suction around the breast or a bottle nipple. There's just not a lot of research on it. And so we kind of approach that with caution.
Okay. And sounds like the frenotomy, straightforward procedure, laser or cut it or stuff like that. But how about frenectomy? Is that something you see done sometimes, complete removal of the frenulum?
Sometimes. I think more so when it's with the laser, it can be more of the full kind of frenulum is removed. But yeah, usually it is just that clipping, and it is very straightforward. There are, you know, as with any procedure, there can be side effects. There can be, there's, you know, pain, bleeding, all those things. So that's why it's important to think about when we're doing something to a child.
Well, this is great information, quite to the point. And what I found interesting about this, which I was completely ignorant about, and now I'm a little less ignorant, but ignorant remain, is how such a little thing can have big consequences down the road if you don't address it at the right time. Anything else you would like to add about this for your colleagues to know about?
No, I don't think so. I really appreciate you having me on, and just a wonderful topic to talk about, and I encourage just future discussions.
Well, thank you so much. That was Dr. Jessica Naharian-Bell, pediatrics, talking about ankyloglossia.
Thank you.